2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll start in verse number 1. So I was studying this. I was thinking and praying and asking the Lord what would it be good to end the year. And the Lord gave me this thought, just how Christ-like am I? You know, I thought to myself, like, Lord, I know, you know, I'm not very much like you, but I sure would like to be. And with that thought in mind this morning, I would like you to ask yourself the question, not point at your wife or your husband or your kids or your friend, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, kids. I want you to think about you. Just how Christ-like am I? Put your name in that I section this morning. Just how Christ-like am I? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you for shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, I ask you now as we open up your word and study just for a few moments this morning, on this thought of just how Christ-like am I, Lord, I ask you to reveal truth to us. And Lord, the truth is none of us are as Christ-like as we should be. And Lord, we could all stand to be a lot more Christ-like. And I ask you this morning as we open up your word and go through it, I pray, God, you'll reveal truth in our lives. And if there's an area in our life where we see in some of these just few points of the many, Lord, that could be pointed out, but just a few that you've given me to give to your people, I pray, God, if something that's said, Lord, through your word this morning, Lord, that your spirit will convict. And I pray, God, you'll have your will and your way with your people this morning. Thank you again. Bind the devil off this place, Lord. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for 2023. But, Lord, we're looking forward now to 2024 and excited as to what God is going to do at New Hope Independent Baptist Church in Red Level, Alabama. Thank you so much for bringing us here. Lord, bless us now for being here. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So just how Christ-like am I? Verse number 1 in Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my what, church? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but can I say right there, as a church, I wonder if we fall into that category of being like-minded. I can say we said it in Sunday school. I would like to think if someone said, hey, what do you believe? Well, first and foremost, I believe that the King James Bible is the preserved, infallible, inerrant, without error, only word of God for us. Amen? And if we don't believe that, well, let me just tell you something. You and I are not in one accord because I believe that this morning. And if you're sitting here and you believe that, we're in one accord on that. And I believe that as a church, we've got to agree in one accord that that is the only way for us. It's the only foundation that has stood the test of time and the only foundation that is going to stand the rest of the test of time. Amen. So we need to be in one accord and like-minded there, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through what, church? Or vainglory. In other words, it's not about you. It's about who? It's about him. We're not doing what we do for praise of man. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Good luck if you're doing what you do for praise of man, because they're not going to praise you. You don't deserve it anyway. You do it for the cause of Christ, and your great is thy reward. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, you're better off doing something and no one ever found out that you did it than to expect something and somebody to tell you, good job. You're better off just doing it in secret because God put it on your heart to do it. And let me tell you this, a need seen, you know what everybody always says, it's an opportunity given. You know, it bothers me whenever people go and they see something that needs to be done, they'll walk right by it and go to the next person and say, hey, you know, this and this and this needs to get done. Well, here's what I say to you, ma'am, sir. A need seen, what is it? Opportunity given. If you have enough, you know, breath in your lungs to go tell someone else about it and it needs to get done, you could have probably already had it done yourself. Y'all okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Hey, that's how you ought to be. Jesus Christ would not walk by a problem and go tell his disciples, hey, go fix that. He would have fixed it, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have waited for somebody else to do it. He would have took it upon himself. By the way, he did take it upon himself, everything upon himself, so that your problems could be fixed. Amen. Folks, listen, that's how we ought to be. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Ain't you glad we serve that name, Jesus? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Can I say, church, listen, you can choose today to bow your knee before God, or you can wait till one day. But one day, your knee is going to bow and your tongue is going to fess Jesus Christ. You don't have that choice one day. You can do it on this side and reign eternal with Jesus Christ, or you can wait till over there and your knee's going to bow and your tongue's going to confess, but guess what? Your destination's going to be hell. It's up to you. I just assume do it while you have a chance. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Forgive my voice. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. I think we could probably spend a month on that and still not touch on everything, couldn't we? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be what? And, wow. So, do all things without murmurings and disputings. There's a colon there. That means the statement's not over. There's something, this is why we're going to do it without murmuring. So, if the Bible commands me to be blameless in my body, soul, and spirit, but I'm constantly murmuring, I'm constantly bickering, I'm constantly complaining about little things that I'm capable of doing, I just don't want to do them, I'd rather put them off to somebody else, I'm constantly complaining about little issues within the church, within things that I cannot control, that really they're up to God. Look, if you are like that, you know what you're not blameless. And you're commanded to be blameless. Folks, the Bible says do all things without murmurings and disputings. We need to get to that point. I can't wait till I get there. I'm just saying, I can't wait till I get there. Just how much, or just how Christ-like am I? That's the question this morning. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So seven things the Lord has shown me this morning. Just how Christ-like am I? So to be Christ-like, number one, look in verse number 4. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. To be Christ-like, I must not focus on myself. Now, I wonder how many of us would say, I do a lot of focusing on me. If you'd be honest, we all do. Why? Because really, at the end of the day, it's all about number one, right? It's all about the man in the mirror in the morning when we wake up. What can I gain today? What can I do to better me today? What can I do to better my possessions? What else can I gain? Let me tell you something. When you breathe your last breath, the only thing that's going to happen with all your stuff is your family's going to split because they're going to be mad because they don't have it. Folks, listen. It's not about you. It's about him. We've got to stop looking and focusing on ourselves. And we can't focus on our well-being, but rather, how can I help someone else? If we spent half the time seeking how we can do something for someone else as we do what we can do for our self-gain, folks, listen, you start worrying about other people and things that they need, you're not going to worry about you all the time. It's just simple. You should make it a weekly task. Sunday night, pray and ask God to reveal to you someone in your church, someone in your community, someone you can go visit in the hospital. It doesn't have to be money every time. See, we're all caught up in it. Well, it's just going to cost me something. Listen, it doesn't have to be money. You know, you could do something. You could go knock on a man's door or a lady's door who isn't able to come to church, and you could make their day. But you're waiting for somebody else to go do it. But you won't do it. You know what the Bible calls you? A hypocrite. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why can't you go knock on the door? Why can't you go make that visit? Listen, I'll do it. You'll do it. In one accord, we'll do it together, but we're not doing it for us. The problem is we're thinking about us. It's all about, well, if I take time to do that, if I have to open up my pocketbook for one more thing, you got everything you need. None of us look like we're starving in here. No offense. I certainly don't. I mean, Brother Whalen's about to fall out. None of us are hungry. Look, what I'm saying is, if we stopped and asked the Lord, Lord, could you please show me someone this week that I could make a difference in their life? And listen, here's the thing. If it is a financial need, can I say God would never put it on your heart if he hasn't already made it available to give through you? Y'all believe that? God's not going to ask you to do something that he hasn't already made a way for you to do. It might be a simple phone call. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How you doing? And you know, they might say, I'm so glad you called. It might be a visit at the dollar store when God says, hey, invite that man to church. Hey, sitting right there. That's pretty personal. Might be the devil saying, hey, you don't want to invite him to church. You want to remain his friend, don't you? Hey, those are the lies I fought. There he is, sitting right there with his wife. His kids are in junior church. Faithful. You don't ever know what God's asking you to do. I could have believed the lies and the devil, and I just said, you know, I do want to remain his friend. I'm not going to talk about church with him. Folks, that's a lie. Jesus Christ came and bled and died for each and every one of us. And if he died for me, hey, he died for the man at the dollar store. You just never know what God has for you. And I promise you, the moment you start submitting yourself to God, that devil's going to flee and he's going to say, hey, you know what? There is something you can do. And it might not require money. It might just require a little bit of time and effort and love. You know, I'll bet you there's times, if we would go through each and every one of our lives, there's times when we felt pretty low. And somebody came and knocked on our door. Or somebody came and called your phone and said, hey, man, I missed you today. I don't know what's going on, but I want you to know somebody loves you and somebody cares about you. Folks, you know that means something. Folks, that's got to be how we are. That's how our Savior was. So just how Christ-like am I today? Think about our Savior. He made the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to live again, all while still having to care for himself. He was a man. He had to eat. He had to get dressed every day. He had to provide for himself. You know, he was a carpenter. He had to work. Did he not? You guys ever read your Bible? He did. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Lived a life to prove that it is possible to submit to God is all he did. He proved that to us. Yet, you know, he walked by the blind man, and I'm sure he could have said, well, that dude's been in that state his whole life. He'll be fine. No. Jesus could have. I like how personal he got with some of these people. He could have just said, open up your eyes. And guess what would have happened? The man would have opened up his eyes. But he stopped. And he knelt down in the sand, and he spit on his fingers. That's what the Bible says. He spit on his hands, and he rubbed his hands in the clay. And he got up, and he touched that man's eyes. Why did he do that? Because he wanted that man to know that his problem was important to him. It was personal. You see what I'm saying? You think Jesus didn't have other things on his mind that day? Every time the Bible says Jesus tried to go away into the mountainside or tried to go into a far place to be alone, the multitudes would flock to him. Why? Because he was real. He was different. They weren't coming to him for bad things either, by the way. They were coming to him because he was a real man. Every single day he lived in submission to God the Father. Can I say this, Christian? How many days this week did you live in total submission to God your Father? Like I said before, I can't wait till I can say 7. It's pretty personal to me. Just how Christ-like am I? See, we think we're Christ-like, but when we start going to our foundation and opening up the Bible, our idea of Christ-like doesn't add up with his, does it? No. So let me ask you this morning. How much are you focusing on yourself? Number 2, verse number 7. Again, please forgive my voice. Verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what, church? Number 2, if I'm going to be Christ-like, kind of goes in with number 1. I must take on the form of a what? A servant. What is a servant? It's a person who performs duties for what? Other people, right? A servant does not have to be asked. Y'all hear me? Doesn't have to be asked. They naturally just act on the need. I like it when people come to me and say, hey, I saw this need in our community and I've came up with this idea on how we can raise money to help them out. And you know, it don't always, like I said before, it doesn't always have to be you just pull out your pocketbook and write a check. Folks, we have somebody who raised over $5,000 for a cancer patient. Why? Because he was willing to give up his time and his own little bit of money and go to a store, buy some wood and some lights, build some Christmas trees that everyone fell in love with, and he raised over $5,000. How did he do that? Because he's a servant and he wanted to help someone else. It was Christmas season. I'm sure he could have been doing a lot more stuff than spending hours and hours and hours for someone else. But why did he do that? Because God's given him the gift of service and he loves it. And can I say this? A servant will never ask for anything back. Ever. Why? You're doing it for God. You're not doing it. You're not even doing it for the person that you're doing it for. They're just reaping the blessing. You're doing it for the Father. A servant doesn't have to be asked. A servant sees a need, and here's what a servant will do. They'll go around, and they'll pray, and they'll say, Lord, have mercy, I see this need. What can I do about this need? And God will say, this is what you can do. Don't complain about it. Don't do anything else. Just do exactly what I tell you to do. And God will provide a way for you to meet that need. Amen. That's what a servant does. So just how Christ-like am I? Am I always looking out for me? Or am I looking out and when I hear a need seen as a what, church? Opportunity given. Amen. And here, I'll take it a little further. I don't believe God would show you the need if you didn't have the means to take care of that. There's a reason that you saw the need and I didn't. There's a reason that she saw the need and she didn't. See, God uses people in certain ways. And sometimes we just see that need and we're like, knock on the door. Preacher, did you see that? Did you? Y'all okay? It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just how Christ-like am I? Have I taken on the form of a servant? Or am I just looking out for number 1, number 3, verse number 8? The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, here it is, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I must learn to have a humble heart. Can I say Jesus humbled himself to the point of death? And not just any death, the worst death possible, the crucifixion, a horrible, horrible way to die. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Can I say that Jesus, by the way, has been exalted? Man, from the moment they lifted him up on that cross, they had no idea who they were lifting up. They were lifting up the Savior of the world. the only begotten Son of God. And can I ask you this? Is he lifted up in your life? I wonder, is he lifted up in your home, Daddy? Mama, is he lifted up in your home? When is the last time Jesus was mentioned in your home? Was it the once a year when we open the Bible and read the Christmas story? Folks, if you're only including him once a year, there's a huge problem. And I have to ask myself, just how Christ-like am I? Everybody all right? I told you I'd never preach you something that God hasn't convicted me of. I'm right here with you. It's like a big slap in the face. Why? Because I'm not nearly as Christ-like as I think I am. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, I just read that. I'm so thankful for a humble Savior, aren't you? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ in that garden for 40 days and 40 nights, when he was sweating great drops of blood, you know, he could have very easily said, I'm not doing this. Because here's the thing, he was God in the flesh. Y'all know that, right? He was a man, but he was God in the flesh. And at any moment, he could have said, I'm not doing this. Enough is enough. But hey, here's where Jesus did not let his anxiety and his stress determine his will. See, had he done that, immediately he would have committed sin. But, see, it's not necessarily the thought that is the sin. Y'all got that? See, Jesus had those thoughts. If it be thy will, let this cup what? Pass from me. His flesh was not ready to do that. But ultimately, he was submitted to God the Father. He said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. So, just how Christ-like am I? Are there times when God has asked me to do something? And can I say, God's never going to ask you to go die for the sins of the world. That's already been done. It's never going to have to get done again. Now, I'm not saying there are not martyrs out there who have given their life for the cause of Christ. And listen, if God ever puts you in that situation, Lord willing, he won't. But look, what do they have to threaten you with other than heaven? If you're born again, I'm not saying, oh, your brother Drew said it'd be all right. No, I didn't. I just said, if I get to die for the cause of Christ, then so be it. So be it. Hey, I'd rather someone walk in the back door and blow my brains out versus dying in a car crash. I'd rather die preaching. Just saying, I'd rather go out like that. I don't know how you feel, but look, everything I do must be in submission to God. Not my will, but thy will. And the flesh is going to fight. But the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You know which one won in Jesus? It was the spirit man. Why? Because he constantly fed his spirit man with submission to God the Father. You know why our flesh wins so much? It's because we put the spirit man on hold. We take him out of his position and we put him back here. And we constantly feed our flesh with bad things, with vile things, with things of this world, with carnal things that do not matter. And all of a sudden, we're stuck in a situation where we know God wants us to do something and we can't even think about doing the right thing because we're so stinking carnal. And the flesh wins over and over and over again. So I'll ask you again, just how Christ-like am I today? Number four, I must understand that because I'm saved, can I say that you have a new name in Christ Jesus? Look at that, verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a what? Which is above every name. Can I say that when you got saved, God gave you a name. And you now fall under that name, Son of God. Folks, you're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father, seated with him, in him. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Can I say, because of that name, that you ought to act like a child of God. You ever told your kids, hey, you don't do that. I like to say this a lot. You're a Bartlett. We don't act like that. Well, what about this? You're a child of God. We don't act like that. You're a child of God. Why would you have that stuff in your home? You're a child of God. Why would you have that music in your ears? you're a child of God, why would that be on your television? If you wouldn't bring it through those doors, why on earth would you bring it through the doors you spend 99% of your time in? We won't bring it to church because everybody will see me. Oh, but the people you supposedly love the most see you every single day. And you'll let them see it. And you'll partake of that stuff in front of them. But man, when they grow up and they start doing it, now all of a sudden it's a problem. Daddy, can I say the problem was way back there when you chose to bring that into your house? Y'all all right? Better take some responsibility, because guess what? God's holding you accountable for that. He's going to hold you accountable for it. That ain't your decision. You know, if we got some things in our house that we need to clean up, you might as well just clean it up. You know, I've seen things. I've watched my dad do things. And again, I know I preach, I give you examples about my dad all the time. But I love my dad. I really do. But I don't love the choices he made. And one of the choices he made when he was young was to start drinking. And before you get upset, nobody ever became an alcoholic by not taking their first drink. You're only one drink away from having to have that stuff every day. So don't sit there and try to justify your sin by saying, well, if I don't get drunk. No, no. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So you go ahead and casually go drink. But when your children are laying in a ditch at age 18 because they chose to casually drink, had a little too many, got under the wheel of a car, tried to drive home, you get the call or the knock on the door says, hey, we just took your mangled child's body from wrapped around that pine tree. You'll think, oh my goodness, who put that in their minds that it was okay? You did, Dad. You did, Mom. You're responsible. I hate alcohol. I got a holy hate for that stuff. I watched it ruin my family. And I hate it. Everybody all right? I hate that stuff. And if you like it, it's okay to be wrong. I don't. Verse 14. I must learn to do all things without what, church? Murmurings and disputings. Never do we find our Savior murmuring and complaining about serving. You know, we often find the disciples murmuring and complaining about, you know, why'd you have to do this for this? Don't you know we need some time to ourselves? How are we gonna go buy enough food for this many people? And Jesus said, how much money we got? It's like, don't you know who I am? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. It wasn't about what we have. How about the widow who made history with two mites? I guarantee you, all of you have more money than she did, and your name ain't in there. We don't read about you. Why? Because her faith with the two mites is way greater than your faith and your millions. Amen. Greater than my faith. She made it because she gave it all by faith. She gave it all. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. We're almost done. Number 6, verse 15. I like this one. That you may be what, church? Blameless and harmless. I would ask you today, we've went over a lot of stuff this morning in just 30 minutes. But just how blameless, if you were to, and when I say blameless, I don't mean looking in the eyes of Pastor Drew or looking in the eyes of your wife or your husband. I'm talking about looking at a holy God who is sinless and pure and holy. Compare yourself to him. Just how blameless are you? Folks, he was blameless. Body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ lived 33 and a half years in the flesh and died blameless. It's hard for us to live 33 and a half seconds blameless. So the next time you say, well, I'm blameless, well, just try to fathom the beauty of your Savior and how blameless he is, and compare your life to his. Open up the Gospels and read about him. and compare your life to his life and ask yourself this question, just how Christ-like am I? Boy, I didn't add up very good, Brother Scott. Verse 16, last one. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Miss Barb, can you come to the piano? We're going to go over this last point. You can just start playing. I'll preach over it. Verse 16, I like this one because, you know, we've came through all these things and we feel bad because we failed, and I failed on this point and this point and this point and this point, and man, I'm not very Christ-like, but I'm trying. Folks, listen, here's the good part about the whole story. We can preach till our hair falls out, and we can feel bad and we can feel convicted and we can feel awful just about how Christ-like I am not. But can I say that verse 16, I must realize that I'm not running, that I'm running this race for Christ. I'm not running it for myself. And can I say, folks, the race you're running is not in vain. It's absolutely not in vain. Look at verse 16. She's going to start playing. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Listen, folks, as hard as it may seem right now, and as difficult as times may be, as awful as your family may be, as awful as that child and wayward as that child may be, as awful as that husband may be or that wife may be, listen, listen. Just how Christ-like are you? Don't focus on them this morning. Hey, folks, head bowed, eyes closed. This altar's open this morning. I want you to ask yourself this question. Just how Christ-like are you this morning? Listen, if you're like me, you'd be on your knees at this altar begging God to make you more Christ-like so that you can be a difference maker in your home. How about it, Daddy? Are those kids worth you being more Christ-like? How about it, Mom? Are those babies, those grandbabies, worth you being more Christ-like? Hey, I don't know about you, but as God was showing me this, I could definitely stand to be more Christ-like. Maybe you're here this morning, and the Lord has spoken to you. This altar is open, but I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please don't look around because, you know, this isn't about them. It's about you. Don't worry about what they're doing. You worry about you. Just how Christ-like am I? Maybe there's someone here this morning that would say, Brother Drew, I'm 100% not Christ-like. I'm not even saved. If I died right now, I would split hell wide open in a hurry. Is there someone in here like that that would say, Brother Drew, I don't want to go to hell. I know if I die right now, I'm going to die without Christ. Just lift your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out, I promise. Don't look around. Just lift your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody? Well, I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, I know I'm going to heaven, but I certainly could stand to be more Christ-like. Is there anyone in here like that? Hey, listen, folks, it starts with humility. It starts with humility. Every single one of us could stand to be more Christ-like. Let's sing that song, I Surrender All, and we'll be dismissed this morning. All to Jesus.